The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
The American women were pretty half-hearted. The American women's, I think three sang the song of the 10 or 11. A handful had their hand over their heart, and the others were just quiet with their hands tucked behind their back. Now, are we in for another debate on this thing as the World Cup rolls on? Watching a team that is the favorite to win?
Beyond versus Nair. Missed. Sigh of relief from the U.S. bench as Rapinoe steps up to take the next kick.
All the penalties had been so clinical right up until this moment, and Beyond gets underneath it.
Rapinoe, right foots it over the bar. It stays 3-2 versus Nair. Save! Missed the net. Bennison, goal. Clutch from a 20-year-old. It's 3-3. Nair shot, goal. The game on the line, Eriksson, goal. It's 4-4. O'Hara, off the post. Hertig, off there. Did it go in? Waiting on a signal. Wow. Sweden wins.
Today, and
wow, that's
that
close.
That is the margin. That is the fine margin.
Goal line technology, right? You can barely see distance there, but it's over.
Put that together for our many viewers in Sweden who must be happy after their big victory over the weekend. Pretty interesting, though, just to think about this team that led by Rapinoe. I guess that was her last game, the last game of her career. She's made millions trashing the United States. She really and truly does hate her country. She doesn't stand for or sing with the national anthem, nothing like that. And so in so many ways, not that we're here to celebrate someone's agonizing defeat, but it's a fitting conclusion, really, to her career. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on this good Monday morning. It's a nice rainy morning here in central Oklahoma. We need the rain. It's cooled things off a bit, so we're very thankful for that. You can get to the live video stream of this show at trumpetdaily.com. Just go to trumpetdaily.com. You can watch the show live every weekday morning at 11 a.m. in the central time zone of the United States. You can also go to our Rumble channel. That's the Trumpet Daily over at Rumble. You can join the live chat. You can leave some comments. You can give us some thumbs up at Rumble as well. And of course, this show also is replayed every evening on Live from America, LFA TV. Just go to LFA at night. It's 9 p.m. on the East Coast, 8 p.m. Central. And of course, you can do all the same things there. Get into the live chat, leave some comments, and of course, give us the thumbs up Rumble. So there you have some highlights. We don't often play sports highlights on this show, unless it's maybe Djokovic. We do have a soft spot for the Joker. But there you go. Finally, the U.S. women's soccer team is getting some attention, and for all the wrong reasons. I mean, they're just being roasted on social media. The fake president tweeted out this: congratulations on an incredible run. This team is something special, and I'm looking forward to seeing how you continue to inspire Americans with your grit and determination on and off the field. And in response to that, Piers Morgan, the UK commentator, he said they just put out their worst ever World Cup performance, and most of them refused to sing the national anthem. Who did they make proud exactly? I mean, that hurts. But you see just how different Victor Davis Hanson brings this out in a piece that we'll get to in just a second. But he just notes how different the United States is today compared to even 10 years ago, just one decade ago. Now it's fashionable to take a knee at the national anthem. None of the other nations do that. You'll notice. I mean, they're singing proudly. They are proud to represent their country. But for some reason, the products of America's educational system, the sports stars, the celebrities, so much of them just have contempt for American institutions and traditions. Right across the line. How do you explain this? Well, if you know anything about America under attack and the communist infiltration of the United States, that's a chapter in this brochure. He was right. Herbert Armstrong was writing about the communist attack on American institutions back in the 1940s and 50s, 70, 80 years ago. If you don't have these publications, make sure that you call our operators today. The 800 number, if you live in the U.S., Canada, the Caribbean, it's 1-866-930-3024. So, switching over to some of the newsworthy items from the weekend. Of course, Donald Trump's tweet or his post at Truth Social. If you go after me, I'm coming after you, he says. I'm going to fight back, in other words. It was amazing to me just reading some of the tweets in response to that coming from communist commentators saying that Donald Trump's attacking. He's attacking Jack Smith. He's attacking the judge. When is he going to start attacking the jury? Yeah, like Donald Trump is on offense here or is attacking here. Who is attacking whom? I mean, look at the never-ending, relentless attacks. Jack Smith can do it. The judge can be as radical, and the spouses of these people can make documentaries about Michelle Obama or contribute to Biden's campaign. They can be so ridiculously, lopsidedly biased. But if Trump puts out a tweet, there were people calling for him to be banned for his messages, just like in 2020 with Twitter and company. Just blot him out. Look, what he's saying is dangerous. If you go after me, I'm coming after you. And Trump now is the problem? Well, in some ways, in many ways, it's not surprising, is it? With these people, it's always been what Trump says and what might happen that's the greatest crime in the history of humanity. Well, look at what this tweet could trigger, they say. And meanwhile, you've got this court in D.C. You've got all of these people who are Obama donors, Biden donors, and then they're going on and on about Trump somehow undermining this unjust process of justice. NBC says special counsel cites threatening Trump post in request for protective order in election interference case. He's threatening. Trump is threatening because of that one statement. How insane and idiotic. This is the reasoning of these communists in the regime media. So Jack Smith hurries to the court. He doesn't want anything that the Trump people, the Trump team, finds out in discovery. He doesn't want that ever seeing the light of day. He'd prefer, there's a few in the regime media calling for cameras because they're so giddy. Cameras in the courtroom, I mean. They're so giddy with delight. They think Trump's going to be destroyed by this. I mean, he'll probably get convicted in this court for sure. It's going to have to work its way up to the Supreme Court for any sense of fairness or justice. Here's this unjust attack on Donald Trump. There's three of them now, soon to be four. As soon as the Georgia indictment comes, then you've got four thought crimes in the case of this Jack Smith indictment. He can't say that the election was stolen. Or else if he does, He's going to prison. Well, he's creating an atmosphere of mistrust. NBC says prosecutors said Trump's use of evidence obtained in discovery could have a harmful, chilling effect on witnesses or adversely affect the fair administration of justice in this case. It's just like the lawsuit that we had over Mystery of the Ages. We get to the end of the road. It's a 6-year battle. They finally surrender. They give us Mystery of the Ages, but then they say, now, we want you to give us all the discovery back in return. All of the documents, the memos, the emails. Basically, the track record that showed just how deceitful and nefarious they were all along after the death of Herbert Armstrong. They just lied their way. They lied their way through to a total, fundamental transformation of that church. And we're seeing the same thing today. So here's the Jack Smith team. They want Trump going to prison, but of course, the indictment opens up the discovery to the other side as well. We played those clips for you last week. And they don't want that discovery to see the light of day. They don't want the public scrutinizing their evil intent, their malicious motives and intent. So here's Jack Smith running to the court. Look, you've got to somehow put a gag order on Donald Trump. I mean, look at what he tweeted. If you go after me, I'm coming after you. Well, what's wrong with that? I mean, just looking at it in the political sense, above all, I mean, what's wrong with that? And would you expect Donald Trump, after being indicted, to just lay down and not do a thing? This is what they want. And this is what they have come to expect from all the weak Republicans that won't stand and fight. They won't stand against it. I believe the event that Mitch McConnell went to over the weekend, I believe it was in Kentucky, his home state. He was heckled for 5 minutes, and he just kept right on with his presentation as if nothing was happening. He was heckled for 5 minutes, not 5 seconds, not 10 seconds, 5 minutes. People are fed up with the establishment. They're fed up with the Uniparty. No wonder they want to throw Donald Trump in prison. He's the only one that's popular. Everyone else, Republican, Democrat alike, they're dreadfully unpopular. For sure they are. Where's that one from? Here's DeSantis from over the weekend. This is him. Again, this is what happens when you get the Uniparty or you get the Fox Republicans advising you and your campaign. This is clip 4.
The former president's chief challenger offering his strongest rebuke yet of Trump's election fraud claims.
I've said many times, the election is what it is. All those theories that were put out did not prove to be true.
Did not prove to be true. He told NBC News, whoever puts their hand on the Bible on January 20th every 4 years is the winner. Whoever puts their hand on the Bible, I mean, it's over. It's just like Laura Ingraham said at Fox News a few days after the regime media, anointed Joe Biden as king. That was back in November of 2020. Laura Ingraham said, hey, we got to move on. I mean, she's a Fox Republican, and so is DeSantis. Who, of course, he lost. Joe Biden's the president, says DeSantis. You think that's going to win him some votes? You think that's going to peel away some of the Trump supporters? Well, he does. They must think that. We'll see how it plays out. For Mitch McConnell to go to an event in his home state and to be heckled for 5 minutes. For Donald Trump to go just about anywhere and to bring in thousands, tens of thousands in some cases. You might have seen the image of one of the DeSantis events over the weekend. I think there's like 10 or 12 people. He's given Joe Biden a run for his money. Pretty soon they're going to start showing up in the hula hoops. Nobody shows up. Carrie Lakes, she's touring through Ohio and she's drawing bigger crowds than DeSantis. And she's not even running for office. She's just out there preaching her, you know, her agenda. It's pretty amazing what's happening. These people, though, they see Donald Trump want to fight back, and they just immediately say, well, he belongs in prison. Well, look at how dangerous he is. He's the most popular politician, and you can't even really call him a politician, but he's the most popular politician running for office, and three times, soon to be four times, four indictments, try to put this man behind bars. There's even one count in this third indictment that could actually bring on a death penalty. Can you believe this? These people really and truly do want to murder Donald Trump. They're hoping for it. They're hoping for his death. They're hoping for his incarceration. That's how deranged and sick the people are. Listen to this montage. This is the regime media making all of their wild comparisons. Donald Trump is this. Donald Trump is that. Clip one.
Donald Trump is who our founders dreaded. They always worried that someone could get, and they talked about men. They didn't think of women getting elected at that time. Someone getting himself elected to the president who was reckless and lawless and a demagogue and out for his own power and maybe allied secretly with hostile foreign governments.
Donald Trump is a threat to the republic, and he can't be allowed near power again. But the fact that he did them at all should tell the rest of us that this man should never be allowed anywhere near the levers of power. Okay. They've got to make this decision and keep Donald Trump out of our public life.
What do you have to say to your colleagues across the aisle who are clamoring to defend the indefensible charges against defendant Trump?
My colleagues on the other side of the aisle, you know, they are really getting dangerously close, in my opinion, to criminal culpability in and of themselves as well.
Osama bin Laden was a terrorist who committed a horrific act against American people and against our republic. And I believe that Donald Trump is a terrorist who committed horrific acts against the American people.
I was telling Sam, my producer, that they're going to start running out of tyrants and dictators to compare them to. I mean, what is wrong with these people? I'm no historian, but has this ever happened? These are the talking heads. I mean, American politics, there's been some contentious battles from the very beginning. But comparing them to Osama bin Laden? Or saying that, as Beschloss just casually says at the end of his statement, he's allied with foreign hostile government. He says this even as the receipts are coming in that the Bidens are being paid by foreign hostile governments. Bribery. And just he casually says the same thing that the Joe Obama people get away with, they project onto Donald Trump. Listen to John Lara. We'll just come back to this tweet. This is the NBC News, an executive at NBC News. Deranged, he tweeted out, deranged, unhinged, psychopathic ex-President Trump attacks both the judge and Jack Smith in back-to-back all caps rants on Truth Social. Put a gag order on him now or maybe 30 days in prison. To cool his heels. He's out of control and stirring up potential violence. Donald Trump is out of control. Okay, right. But see, that's NBC News. That's an executive at NBC News. Put him in jail for 30 days, he says. He's got to cool off. He's out of control. He sent out a 7 or 8 word tweet. A tweet. Whatever they call it on Truth Social. It's just unbelievable. You really can't make this up. John Lauro, he's the attorney for Donald Trump. He was on with Chuck Todd. Now just listen to this statement and see how sensible it is. He's talking about Donald Trump and why, oh why, Donald Trump could have ever thought in 2020 that the election was stolen. This is clip two.
Let's go back, if we could, and see what was going on January 6th. Both Vice President Pence and President Trump saw that they had 10 million votes more than they had in 2016. No president has ever lost under those circumstances. They also saw that Joe Biden outperformed Hillary Clinton by 15 million votes, even though she was an inspirational candidate and Joe Biden was sitting at home in his basement. They also saw that President Trump won almost all of the disputed counties. In addition, they had over 1,000 people come forward and under oath say that there were discrepancies in the election. And finally, and most importantly, what President Trump and Vice President Pence saw were that the rules of the game had been changed by local electoral officials contrary to the state legislature. So he took what he was entitled to do, which was petition Vice President Pence on January 6th. Once that petition was completed and Vice President Pence rejected his position, it was over and there was a peaceful transition of power.
He's exactly right. They tried to contest it every way that they could. Legally, and then once the time was up, there was a peaceful transfer of power. Quite unlike 2016, when Barack Obama, the dear leader, unleashed the deep state on all things Trump. Listen to Donald Trump for his part. He's referring here to the the indictment and the 2020 election. Clip 5.
The fake charges put forth in their sham indictment are an outrageous criminalization of political speech. This order is, you make a statement, oh, we have to indict him because he said we were dishonest. Let's indict him. They're trying to make it illegal to question the results of a bad election. It was a very bad election. Everybody knows that. But only a party that cheats in elections would try to make it illegal. Because if you have nothing to hide, why would you do that? And why would you be afraid to have those results come out?
Only a party that cheats in elections would make it illegal to criticize or to complain about the cheating. You just shut up and submit. Submit to being railroaded, just like he's being railroaded with these indictments. The dear leader... The basement candidate from 2020, it's as if he's in the basement still, because the dear leader is carrying out his third term, and more people are waking to this fact. We referred you to that article, the interview in Tablet Magazine. I forget the authors, David Samuels and David Garrow. Garrow's the author of Rising Star. And then the article, it's a long article as well, that's titled, it's later on in my notes. Let me just play, we played a clip last week from Dan Bongino, and we don't listen to him that often, but to his credit, I mean, he really is shining a light on who's responsible for this communist takeover of the United States. Who's leading the effort? This is clip number 9.
They're all starting to pick up on this now, that the puppet master behind this whole thing is Obama. Obama. I can't say this enough. We've actually put it in the title of the last few shows. You've got all this stuff going on with Biden. Damn, why are we talking about Obama? Because it's not about Biden. It's about Obama.
It's been about Obama from the very beginning, ever since he vowed to fundamentally transform the United States back in 2008. The first edition of this came out 10 years ago, America Under Attack, and the very first chapter that you get into in this book, Barack Obama Fundamentally Transforming America. Before chapter 1, read this first. It's the swooning media. The swooning media that gives the dear leader so much cover. They're trying to protect him above all. Victor Davis Hanson, you wonder if he's previewed some of the content in AUA. This is called The Remaking of America. It's a column by Victor Davis Hanson. He says here, we're in the midst of one of the most radical revolutions in American history, It is as far-reaching and dangerous as the turbulent years of the 1850s and 1860s and 1930s. Every aspect of American life and culture is under assault. Every aspect. I mean, you see it in sports, even. A lot of times, the most radical among us are in the world of sports or sports commentary. They've just taken over. Every aspect of American life and culture is under assault, including the very processes by which we govern ourselves and the manner in which we live. Every aspect, it's under assault. I mean, that's the communist infiltration of America was prophesied. That's the title of the chapter, and he was right. It says here, this is VDH, it says, the revolution began under the Obama administration that sought to divide Americans into oppressed and oppressors and then substitute race for class victimization. The revolution began under Obama, says Victor Davis Hanson. Bongino's saying the same thing. Look, this would have been a little bit more of a difficult sell 10 years ago when the first version came out. Back in 2013, to say that America was under attack, a lot of people just kind of dismissed that or rejected it or thought, well, you're just trying to be provocative with the headline. But look at today. Look at what's happened in the last 10 years. It says here, it was empowered by the bicoastal wealth accrued from globalization and honed during the COVID lockdown, quarantine-fed economic downturn, and the George Floyd riots and their aftermath. And so many of those rioters, by the way, they're receiving compensation for their destruction. Not the January 6 people, but the George Floyd people. Oh, yes. I mean, there was a NASCAR driver that got suspended indefinitely because he liked a meme with respect to George Floyd. I'm not sure what was in it, but how do you lose your job for just liking something on social media? Well, you see, that triggers the woke police, and they spring to action. You see it like Hanson brings out in every aspect of American life and culture. It's all under assault. It says here, the revolution was boosted by fanatic opposition to the presidency of Donald Trump. And the result is an America that is unrecognizable from what it was a mere decade ago. How do you even wrap your mind around the fact that America today, it's unrecognizable from what it was just a decade ago? Just 10 short years. That would be when America Under Attack first came out. Here again, if you don't have a copy of this book, make sure that you call our operators, 1-866-930-3024. You can also go to our website, thetrumpet.com, and request your free copy of America Under Attack. If you'd like to email the show, you can send us some feedback, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll take a short break, and then we'll come back with some more material that we need to work our way through. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. there is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
But I don't feel like it's caught on yet in the mainstream media or anywhere. And I mean the mainstream conservative media, where a lot of people are still making this about Biden. And obviously the story is about Biden and his corruption. But the corruption could have never happened if the puppet master didn't allow it. You understand everything Biden did had to be approved and rubber stamped by Obama. Now you'll see why the media is starting to panic.
The media is starting to panic, as Bongino says, because this is getting a little bit too close to exposing the dear leader. And so they spring. You watch the exchange between the Trump attorney and Chuck Todd. I mean, really, the attorney made Chuck Todd look like a fool. But boy, they are very defensive. They're on edge because they're being exposed. They're all part of the problem. They're part of the regime. It's like Victor Davis Hanson said, every aspect of American life and culture is under assault. They've just taken over everything. They control all the levers of power. And Donald Trump represents the biggest threat of all. So they got to put him in prison for life, or maybe even execute him. If they could, they would. This article on Obama, David Samuels, David Garrow, the author, the sit-down, the interview. Samuels, by the way, used to write for the New York Times and New York Magazine. He's the one that wrote that article years ago about Ben Rhodes being the former novelist, the fiction writer. And he's having this in-depth exchange with Rhodes, who basically just says how stupid your typical journalist is. You can fool them so easily, Rhodes said, or words to that effect. This is what's just astounding to me as well. You know, all the journalists are radical leftists, but there's people like the dear leader and like Ben Rhodes that just openly mock them to their face, telling them how stupid they are, how easily deceived they are. And you would think there'd be a few more journalists like David Garrow. He's no conservative by any means. But you think there would be a few more like him that wouldn't just take everything that the dear leader says, to take that example, as if it's the absolute rock solid truth. Garrow went through Dreams from My Father and said, this is fiction. This is a fake narrative. This isn't true. And then he actually went and interviewed some of Obama's girlfriends who said he was fantasizing about this or that, who said he hated Jews. Melanie Phillips has a piece on that just today. She focuses in on Obama's Jew hatred. His love for Iran, I mean, that's brought out in the interview between Samuels and Garrow. But the way they describe the dear leader, the way they describe Barack Obama, It's like you're getting descriptions of Antiochus anciently. And of course, as we said last week on the program, that's a prophecy. There's an end time type of Antiochus, and we're seeing it play out. If you look at the history, if you go back and study Daniel 8 and Daniel 11, you see how that this Antiochus, he was a fraud from the beginning. He came in with flatteries. He said all the right things. And just like the Read This First section in America Under Attack says, the media just swooned. Michael Hastings, the late Hastings, said, and who knows how he died. You begin to wonder now with this communist takeover of the United States. But he admitted that everyone in the regime media, they swooned before Barack Obama. He could do no wrong. I played you the clip last week of the talking head that said there were no scandals. no scandals at all during the Barack Obama presidency. Listen to Dan Bongino actually played that same clip that we played last week. This is on his show Friday. And listen to his response to this MSNBC droid that just went on and on about how perfect Obama was and how he never, ever, ever was guilty of one scandal. Clip 11.
There was no scandal in his administration? I mean, did you just sit that 8 years out? What are you talking about? Benghazi, Fast and Furious, the AP targeting scandal, the Associated Press, the James Rosen targeting scandal, the GAO scandal, the VA scandal, Spygate, the collusion hoax. Folks, what am I missing? Do you see how the media is desperate to protect the legacy of Obama? They're desperate to protect Obama. He's their icon. He's the only one with an approval rating really high right now. So they cannot let this guy go no matter what. The fact that Biden was his vice president when he pulled all of this off, however, is going to take Obama down over time. And they know it. By any rational reading of this, Obama was part and parcel of this whole thing.
Pretty amazing. He says it's going to take Obama down over time. And of course, if you think about this square off, this fight, this war between a Jeroboam type and an Antiochus type, if you follow that through to what's prophesied there in Amos 7, I mean, there's no mention of Antiochus. There is a mention of Jeroboam. He is featured prominently in the days that lead right up into great tribulation, as Jesus prophesied. We're seeing these prophecies line up perfectly. The sure word of Bible prophecy. But just to come back to this man who comes in the spirit of Antiochus, this is from Town Hall. Barack Obama is the big lie. Town Hall, Dan Bongino, Victor Davis Hanson. Like I say, it was a more challenging sell in 2013. In 2023, not so much. It's becoming obvious to those that can think straight, to those who haven't deluded themselves or deceived themselves with propaganda or with the worship of human opinion, will worship. Town Hall says, the story of Barack Obama, the myth he and his handlers created around him, is the real big lie. The regime media, they love to talk about the big lie. And this is the real big lie. It really and truly is. It underpins everything. Everything we're seeing in this fake and phony world. It's the real big lie in American politics, and no legacy media employee has bothered to even ask a skeptical question about it. They've shifted from protecting Barack Obama to protecting Joe Biden. It's a tougher sell, and they do feel a little dirty prostituting themselves for a corrupt, rich, old white man. But the agenda must be served. Besides, the only things that changed from Obama to Biden are the age and skin color, and they only pretend to care about those things anyway. What they leave out, of course, is that Obama's the one who's controlling the puppet. He's still running the presidency. He had a shadow government in place the moment Trump stepped in 2017. He just moved down the street in Washington, D.C. Samuels and Garrow bring this out in their exchange over at Tablet. I gave you this quote from last week in Tablet. This is quoting Garrow. He says, Obama is not normal, as in not a normal politician or a normal human being. That's from a pretty liberal journalist or author saying that Obama is not a normal human being. Well, that's an opinion that springs right from the pages of Daniel 8 and 11, as I said a moment ago. Garrow says, he wants people to believe his story. It says, for me to conclude that Dreams from My Father was historical fiction, oh, did that infuriate Obama. Good for this man. He said it to his face. He said it to Obama's face. That's just fiction. You just made that up. Oh, that infuriated the dear leader. Someone calling him out for his lies? Because he's a truth teller. He says so all the time, right? I tell the truth. I'm a straight shooter. I don't meddle in any investigations into Hillary. I don't do any of that. He was doing all of that. He lies. Samuels in the interview says, I've gotten the sense from my read of him, Obama that is, and from people close to him, that the pose of being a writer is actually one that he prefers in many ways to being a politician. See, he's a great literary genius, the way he sees it. The way Obama sees it, he's more of a professor. He's more of a distinguished literary critic or writer. He's not so much a politician. So he wants to be seen as such. And Garrow says, yeah, that's right, that's right. Further on, Samuel says, the easy explanation, of course, is that Joe Biden is not running that part of his administration. Obama is. They talked about some foreign policy things, how much Obama loves Iran. Of course, in the same article, you see how much he hated the Jews. He still does. Lots of Jew hatred, as Melanie Phillips brings out in her piece today. I don't know if I'll have time to get to it. But a lot of people commenting on this article, and you had all the tweets last week, as I said on Friday's program, all the tweets from these conservative commentators saying, this is shocking. I mean, this is an extraordinary revelation. They're waking up to it for the first time here in 2023. There are obviously large parts of White House policy making that belong to Barack Obama, because they're staffed by his people who worked for him and no doubt report back to him. Personnel is policy, as they say in Washington. And then Samuel says, which to me is a very odd and kind of spooky arrangement. Spooky because it is happening outside the constitutional framework of the U.S. government, and yet somehow it's been placed off the list of permitted subjects to report on. So he calls this unconstitutional coup. He calls it spooky. I mean, that's the strongest, I guess, that he can come up with. And really, you get to the end of the article, this long essay with this interview, and basically, I mean, there's kind of an implication that, you know, Obama's still a pretty good guy, I guess. After they expose this fraud, what does this mean, though? If you have this fraudulent takeover of the United States, or a takeover, a coup attempt that's based on a lie, the big lie, as Town Hall puts it. It says here, which is a pretty good indicator of the extent to which the information we get and public reactions to that information is being successfully controlled. How and by whom remain open questions, the quick answer to which is that the American press has become a subset of partisan communications for the regime, in other words. They're in on it. They're in on the takeover. They're in on the communist infiltration. That's why we call them the regime media. Listen to one last clip from Bongino, number 12.
Here's the most important takeaway. It's commonly and frequently left out. And to be fair, something I haven't brought up in a long time. Probably a couple years. Barack Obama, when he left office, ladies and gentlemen, never left Washington, D.C. Did you know that? He never left D.C. They bought a place close by. They traveled. But this is an oddity. But I am suggesting it was done for a reason. Obama had his fingerprints all over appointees in the federal government who were loyal to Obama, not Trump, and certainly not the Constitution. They were sitting there and waiting. They were a government in waiting, planning kind of a political coup d'etat, getting ready to take over through collusion and Spygate, waiting for Trump to fall. The election comes up. They manipulate the national security apparatus. And who do they get in there? They get the patsy back in there again, Joe Biden.
They install the puppet. A political coup, as he says there. Now you see it's becoming as plain as day. People see what's happening. Donald Trump sees what's happening. That's why he's enemy number one. That's why he needs to be behind bars. That's why he needs to be executed. Samuels and Garrow, they have this exchange in the interview where it talked about whether or not Obama would have been on this judicial court. And Garrow responds to that by saying he'd be terrible because he's too lazy. This is in the book. It goes back to him being Hawaiian. This is in Obama's book he's referring to, Dreams from My Father. It goes back to him being Hawaiian. At one point, he says, I'm fundamentally lazy, and it's because I'm from Hawaii. That's close to an actual quote, says Garrow. Here's a journalist that just, you know, he read through, like we did when Obama was running back in 2008. We went through Dreams from My Father. I mean, it tells you all that you need to know about the fact that he's an imposter. I mean, aside from the fact that it's a fake narrative, it's got this communist thread that runs right through it. Never, ever vetted. The media just swooned. It says at one point, well, that's a actual quote or close to one. It's like your question, Samuels responds. Why is he at an event with Jay and Bey, I guess Jay-Z and Beyonce? Why does he want a private plane? And the answer is, well, because those are the things that winners get. And then Garrow responds by saying, but you remain hollow. They're all hollow. That's what the system produces. They're just all empty suits. There's no substance. There's no substance. They're in it, like Ezekiel 34 says, they're in it to feed themselves. They're in it to serve themselves. How easy is it for these elites to just say, hey, the economy's great. Keep quiet. Get rid of Trump. Trump's Osama bin Laden. Everything's perfect with elections and everything else. It's so easy for them to say that as they have cover in their palatial estates from all of the curses that are setting in. Of course, if you're a millionaire, it's easy to look at these curses and just say, well, it's perfect. How does Megan Rapinoe get $5 million for trashing her country? People have accumulated a lot of wealth promoting this communist ideology, and they used to do it with more deceptive means. But now, you see, they're so much more bold and audacious with their attack, with their coup, because they control so much. So they can look in the camera and they can tell you that Donald Trump is Osama bin Laden and that we're just telling you the truth. And these indictments, I mean, there should be 5, 6, 7 more of them because he's Donald Trump. He needs to be destroyed. We had an article in this issue of the Trumpet magazine. I referred to it on Friday's show. Obama unmasked. Unmasked. I mean, this was back at the end of last year that we put this together. This was following, as I said on the show Friday, this was following the New York Times piece about the transformative politics essay that Obama wrote with one of his attorney friends in college. And that transcript, that essay, that paper, it never did see the light of day. Here again, you get the transcript, you read through it, and it's a window into the thinking of this individual. And he has helpers all along the way, whether it's with Dreams from My Father or this transformative politics. But it reveals the fraud, it reveals the fakery, and it also reveals the communist attack on the United States of America in that January issue of The Trumpet. Again, if you haven't subscribed to The Trumpet, make sure that you call our operators and request your free subscription. There's no cost, no obligation. You can get a free 1-year subscription by just calling our operators today. In that issue, in that article, Obama Unmasked, we wrote in January, Obama's 250 pages on transforming politics describe how to accomplish what Drew suggested. It argues that you cannot convince millions of working class Americans to vote for socialism by telling them that racism is in their DNA. You must convince millions of working class Americans to vote for socialism by destroying what America has been. It says, including its economy, and offering socialism as the way out of the crisis. And I saw a clip earlier today of this woman talking about how that, you know, she's told her son his whole upbringing that, look, if you go out and work hard, you get a good job, you put a down payment on a house, you do this, this, and this. I think the son is, he's an adult now, and he's trying to find his way, and he still lives at home with his parents because it's just so much more difficult to get out and to establish your own property or whatever it is because of the costs, the runaway inflation. She's like, it's nothing like it was when I was his age, where you could actually get out and get established on your own with just a, you know, a middle class job, just a job that paid a decent wage. You look at what young people are facing today. You think the elites care about people in the heartland struggling? All this money that just flows into the DC swamp, richest city in the world, coming from taxpayers, funded by taxpayers, just ordinary Americans struggling, scraping to get by. It says here, you must convince millions of working class Americans to vote for socialism by destroying what America has been, including its economy, and offering socialism as the way out of the crisis. In other words, you have to sway many of the people you consider the enemy to support you before you can openly wage the racial culture war against the racial majority. In other words, you've got to be deceitful. You've got to come in with flattering words. You've got to pretend to be someone you're not. You've got to fake your way to the top. And then when you have control, that's when you can show your true colors. That's when you can reveal what it is you're really aiming to do. In Obama Unmasked, it says here, again, this is the Trumpet magazine from earlier this year. It says, like other radicals, Obama believes that America is a racist society, needing to expiate white demons by special concessions, wholesale reparations, and waging culture war. It says, but unlike them, he senses the effectiveness of hiding that radicalism, even at this late stage, deceiving those he considers the enemy about his motivations, has worked blindingly well for Obama for more than 15 years. He comes across as moderate, moderate relative to the others, despite the fact that he has destroyed more and transformed more than all the rest of them combined. See, he's the most radical among them. He's the dear leader. He's the communist in charge. He's the authoritarian and dictator. He's the one running the country, as he laughed about doing thereafter Joe Biden was able to steal the election, or as Obama was able to steal the election. Yeah, I kind of like the thought of being the president again, running the show from my basement in my pajamas, where the fake guy, the puppet out front, had a little earpiece and got my commands. That's exactly what's happening. That's exactly how it's played out. In Obama Unmasked, just one last paragraph here, it says, after Barack Obama was reelected president in 2012, my father wrote a startling booklet titled America Under Attack. That would be this, 2013. America Under Attack, which he recently updated and greatly expanded, it revealed that Obama is an end-time type of Antiochus Epiphanes. Like Antiochus, Obama obtained power through lies. Through lies. Now he's betraying the American people and trying to extinguish the faith of our founding fathers through a combination of subterfuge and brute force. That's from the Trumpet in January. It's referring to this book here, America Under Attack. Call our operators today to request your free copy. 1-866 is the number, 1-866-930-3024. If you want to send us some feedback, don't forget the email address, td@thetrumpet.com. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.